Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, we continue our prophetic and messianic study of the seven feasts of Israel given in Leviticus 23, one of the most important chapters in the Bible, yet sadly one of the most often overlooked in the church today. Certainly not in Judaism, because Leviticus 23 is the festival calendar for the Jewish nation and has been for the last 3,500 years, making these feasts the oldest ongoing celebrated feasts in the world. And these seven feasts have much to tell us about Mashiach, about Messiah. Remember the underlying theme, the foundation, the interpretive grid for these feasts is through the messianic lens. That is, that they point to the Messiah from Calvary to the kingdom. And so now we have been looking at the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets. And I want to continue with this feast today. Let me just say that in the Talmud, the ancient rabbis believed that the world was created during Rosh Hashanah. In the Talmud, Rosh Hashanah, Tractate 10b, they say that in the month of Tishri, the world was created. And they also believe that when the new heavens and earth are created, it will be also around Rosh Hashanah. Why is that so? Well, Rosh Hashanah is a Hebrew phrase meaning chief of the year. Hence, it's the Jewish New Year. Other rabbis have suggested that Rosh Hashanah was not only the birthday of the world, but the very day on which man was created, making it the beginning of the day of man. Of course, the scripture doesn't say anything about this. This is rabbinic tradition, but it's certainly interesting that how they view Rosh Hashanah as the period of new beginning, And it will be for the church at the rapture when the trumpet is sounded and the dead in Christ will be raised, and then we which are alive shall be raised together with them. That will signal a new beginning for us. We will have new bodies that will not be subject to death or decay. They will be like the body our Lord rose with, incorruptible, glorified, and immortal. Like Israel's other feast, we have seen with this feast too that there is strong prophetic themes running throughout this feast. Though Rosh Hashanah does not commemorate any past historical events, it does point to two major events of the end times. Number one, the rapture of the church. Just as the blowing of the shofar signals the beginning of the Jewish New Year, the blowing of the rapture trumpet will signal the coming of Messiah to meet the church in the air. And secondly, it points to the full regathering of Israel when the Messiah returns. According to Isaiah 27:13 and Matthew 24:31, when Mashiach returns, there will be a great blast of the shofar trumpet, and he will gather all the elect from the four winds of heaven, north, south, east, and west. So the Feast of Trumpets is the next event on God's prophetic calendar for Israel and as well as the church. All the other spring feasts have been fulfilled by Messiah. Let's go through them quickly. Yeshua fulfilled Passover as God's sacrificial lamb who took and takes away the sins of the world. Yeshua fulfilled unleavened bread. He was buried on unleavened bread. He himself lived an unleavened life. Leaven in the Bible, we discovered, stands for sin. So if it's unleavened, it's without sin. Our Messiah was sinless. Then we have first fruits. The Lord Jesus was raised on first fruits, the first day of the Jewish week. And then, following first fruits, Some 50 days later, we have Shavuot, or Pentecost. And the day of Pentecost was fulfilled when the Holy Spirit was poured out on those who repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the birthday of the church occurred. So these four spring feasts of Israel were fulfilled. Were fulfilled with Messiah's first coming and ascension to heaven. So likewise, these three autumn feasts that we are currently looking at will be fulfilled with Yeshua's return to the earth, the second coming. And keep in mind that if the Lord fulfilled the four feasts of the spring literally in connection with Mashiach, with Messiah, then it stands to reason He will also literally fulfill the last three autumn feasts with the return of Messiah. And this is not a Christian invention, this interpretation, because even the ancient rabbis believed there was some messianic overtones with the Feast of Israel, specifically Rosh Hashanah. They held that in the month of Nisan at Passover, our ancestors, they say, were redeemed. And in Tishri, that's the month Rosh Hashanah falls in, the Jewish month Tishri, and in Tishri, Israel will be redeemed in the time to come. So you see here that they are connecting these two feasts with the redemption Messiah will bring when He comes. The Feast of Trumpets will be and has been viewed by other Messianic Bible commentators who have studied the feast. They believe that the Feast of Trumpets will be when the day of the Lord occurs. That is when God pours out His wrath on an unbelieving world during the seven-year tribulation period. And for Israel and the Gentile world, it will be a dark period of time. Jesus said it would be so awful and so horrible that no other event in history parallels it. It will be unprecedented. Now remember that the Feast of Trumpets occurs at the new moon, when the moon itself is darkened. There is no primary light in heaven at the occurrence of a new moon. And it's the only feast in Israel's festival calendar that occurs at a new moon. All the other feasts occur about the middle of each month when the moon is at its brightest. And this feast, the Feast of Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, occurs when the moon is most dark. That is significant prophetically. Israel's prophets repeatedly warned of the coming day of God's wrath. They called it the Day of the Lord. That catastrophic period of time that will occur at the end of days prior to the Messiah's return, in which the Lord will pour out His judgment on an unbelieving world. We call it the seven-year tribulation. There are various names for this, Daniel's 70 weeks of years, and so forth. But suffice it to say that at this time period, God will pour out His wrath on an unbelieving world and prepare Israel for the return of the Messiah. All throughout the Navi'im, all throughout the prophets, we read of this dark coming day of the Lord, and it will be preceded or heralded by the blowing of trumpets, in keeping with the theme of the Feast of Trumpets too. Zephaniah, the prophet, said this in Zephaniah 1:14 and 16. He said, "The great day of the Lord is near. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet." And remember that during the tribulation period, there's going to be seven trumpet judgments. You have the seven seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, and then the seven bowl judgments. A series of three sevens making 21 total judgments in the book of Revelation. And there will be seven trumpet judgments. And with each judgment falling on the earth, it will be immediately preceded or signaled or commenced by the blowing of a trumpet, or what the Jewish mind would know as the shofar, the ram's horn. And with these judgments, we are told in the Word of God about this future period that another thing will occur, and that is the darkening of the heavenly lights, the moon and the stars. Joel 2 talks about this period. In fact, he says in Joel 2:31, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. That's Joel 2:31. Jump back up to Joel verse 1, and it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm in my holy mountain. And so here we have the trumpet associated, the blowing of the shofar trumpet, associated with God's judgment. And Joel goes on and tells us that it will be a day of supernatural darkness. And it will occur immediately before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. John, in the book of Revelation, describes this time period of judgment in the same way. The blowing of the trumpets, seven trumpet judgments, that will also occur when the moon and the stars and the sun are darkened. In Revelation 6:12-17, we read this. The Apostle John, describing the disturbances in the heavens and on the earth, which will announced to the world that God's day of judgment has arrived. He says, I looked when he opened the sixth seal, talking about Jesus opening the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to earth, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? So, the day of the Lord will be a day or a period of judgment, 7 years in duration, we learn that from Daniel 9:26-27, in which the Lord will turn off the natural lights of creation, the lights in heaven, the stellar lights, the sun, the moon, and the stars. Now, why would he do that? I mean, it's one thing to say that he's going to do it, but why is he going to do that? Well, I have a theory why he's going to turn off all the lights. Have you ever noticed that when you go to a concert or a play, that right before the actors come on stage and the play commences, all the house lights are turned off? And then all of a sudden, when the actor or the musicians come on the stage, everything lights up. So there's no mistake. There's no mistake who is on stage, because all the lights have been turned off. And the lights are focused on the actors or the performers of the play or the concert. So will it be when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. When he returns with power and great glory, the Shekinah glory that he will come back with will be so bright that it will light the whole world. So that people in Australia who have survived the tribulation period will see the Shekinah glory beaming from the returning Messiah. So there will be no mistake. There will be no mistake who takes central place at the end of the tribulation period. So the only light that will be shine at that point will be the light, the supernatural light from the returning Messiah. So that's why all the lights will be turned off. So the performance of the second coming can be clearly seen without any type of luminary rival, whether earthly or celestial. They will know this light is from the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he returns, he will pour out his wrath with unquenchable fury upon this wicked and Christ-rejecting world. You know, liberals, some liberals in the church, the return of a judging and avenging Messiah is repugnant to them. They don't understand that God has given mankind 2,000 years to date to repent, believe in Jesus, and enjoy the benefits of eternal salvation and spend the rest of eternity with Him as a free gift. And yet mankind continues to reject, repudiate, and revile the Messiah's offer. There is a day coming when His grace will reach its limit and will reach its end. The present age of grace, where God is winking at men's sins and patiently waiting for them to repent and be saved, is drawing to a close. And when He returns, He will not return as an infant in swaddling clothes. He will return as the avenging lion from the tribe of Judah. So that's why God gives us signs. He gives us warnings beforehand so that we can turn to Him and find salvation and escape His wrath. Paul talks about the Feast of Trumpets in relationship to the rapture in the New Testament. And this idea of God blowing a trumpet to commence a cosmic event is seen throughout Scripture, not only just with the rapture and with the regathering of Israel. But there's another occasion in Scripture where God Himself blows a trumpet. There's only two instances in Scripture where God Himself blows the trumpet. Let's look at those briefly. First of all, the first time God was said to personally blow a trumpet was at Mount Sinai when He revealed the law to Moses. In Exodus 19, the Lord came from heaven and prepare and to give the law to Israel and to ratify this law and His union with Israel under the old covenant. In Exodus 19, we are told the Shekinah glory of the Lord descended with fire and thunderings and the sound of a shofar. Moses describes it this way. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai. Isn't that interesting that God, when He descended to Mount Sinai, His descent was signaled by the blast of a trumpet? The last occasion on which the Lord will blow the trumpet will be at the Messiah's return. When the Lord descends from heaven, He will do so with the sound of a trumpet, accompanied by His clouds of Shekinah glory and the angelic hosts following Him, and we, the armies of the saints, with them as well. Zechariah describes it this way in Zechariah 9:14. Then the Lord will be seen over them, and His arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord will blow the trumpet and go with whirlwinds from the south. The ancient rabbis, alluding to Zechariah 9:14, say this about the coming of the Messiah. And it is the ram's horn that the Holy One, blessed be He, is destined to blow when the Son of David, a righteous one, will reveal Himself, as it is said, and the Lord God will blow the horn. When the day of the Lord begins, God's trumpet will be sounded, and Messiah will reveal Himself in the judgment of the wicked of the earth. And in doing that, He will rid the world of the unrighteous and prepare Israel to be brought into the blessings of the new covenant. By the way, ancient rabbis believe that the resurrection of the dead would occur on Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets. That is reflected in the New Testament, with the resurrection and translation of the Christians to the air to meet the Lord. The rapture of the church is associated with the blowing of the trumpet. I have a picture in my bedroom, painted by one of the most renowned painters in Israel. He is the art He's the artist for the Prime Ministers of Israel, and he painted this picture of a man with a tallit on, blowing a trumpet next to the Kotel, the Western Wall. And he told me that this represents the resurrection, when the trumpet will sound and God will raise the dead. I told him that you're not far from the truth, because that's exactly what Rabbi Shaul, or Paul, said in the Berit Hadashah in the New Testament, that when Mashiach comes for the church, the dead in Christ will be raised, and then we which are alive shall be raised together with them. And then when he comes at the end of the age to the earth to rescue Israel from the annihilation of Armageddon, the tribulation saints will be raised too. So here we have both instances when the shofar is blown. Both instances in the end times, the rapture and the return of the Lord when resurrection occurs. Paul said, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." In other words, our bodies will not remain dead. "But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Paul told the Thessalonians something similar to this when he says, when he writes to them, "For the Lord Himself," talking about Jesus the Messiah, "for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." So for the church, the next event on God's calendar will be the rapture, which will be signaled with the blowing of the shofar. So when you hear a terrific blast of a shofar, you know that that is the rapture. The Lord is coming to take His church home into His Father's house to celebrate with them at the wedding supper of the Lamb, and it will all occur with the blowing of the shofar. And so this will be God's last trumpet call to the church. And then God's trumpet blast for Israel will signal their regathering to the land of Israel in preparation for His coming to the land to redeem them and rescue them from annihilation. So we see then that God's trumpet blasts of the shofar will gather the church to Himself in the air, what's known as the rapture of the church. And when that time comes, you and I will be delivered from the wrath of the tribulation period that will come on the rest of the world. That's why the rapture has to be before the tribulation period, because the tribulation period is described as God's wrath poured out on the world. But for the believer, he is not under God's wrath, because the Lord Jesus Christ took God's wrath for his sins upon himself when he hung and died on the cross. So we are not under God's wrath. No, we are accepted in the Beloved. And since God has not appointed the believer to that time of wrath, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, we will be raised and translated and removed before the period of God's wrath, a 7-year period known as the Great Tribulation, occurs and is poured out on the wicked, unbelieving world. So you should not be worried about being here when God pours out His wrath in the last days, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. If you have repented of your sins and believed in Him, you will be spared and saved from this wrath. Oftentimes I hear uninformed individuals deride and belittle the pre-tribulation rapture as escapism. Of course it's escapism. What's wrong with that? When you are saved, you're escaping the condemnation of hell. And when you are saved, you're also escaping God's fiery wrath that will be poured out on this world in the future tribulation period. We're not appointed to that. God says He will keep us from the hour of tribulation that's coming upon the world, just as He told those in the Church of Philadelphia. That promise is good for all Christians down through the ages, because the Lord's coming could happen at any moment for the church. And so, when the Lord does return, He will then gather all the Jewish elect from the four winds and bring them that back into the Holy Land to establish His thousand-year reign on earth from a restored and redeemed Israel, from its capital, Jerusalem, which will be the world capital in His future kingdom, yet to come, and soon to come, I believe. Moving on, then, we see that the rapture of the church will be our Feast of Trumpets. The blast, the shofar blast from the Lord will signal our exit and departure from this world. The good news for the Christian is that whether he dies in Christ or is raptured before death, heaven is his home. You have, as a born-again Bible-believing Christian, you have no reason to fear death or to shun it, is what I'm trying to say. If death comes, it comes, because, as Paul said, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Why? Because to be absent from the body is to be present from, is to be present with the Lord. So it's not something that you should shun or be afraid of. Death is our doorway into the presence of the King. And if not death at the rapture, it will be an immediate transference from this fallen world into the joyous and perfect presence of our King and Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And when He returns, it will be the fulfillment of Israel's hopes and the fulfillment of the covenants God has made with Israel, starting with the covenant He made with Abraham. And the Messiah returns to Israel. It will be heralded by the blast of the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets. At that point, will then be fulfilled for national Israel, the Jewish people. And before the Messiah returns, Israel will have to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Next time we'll talk about how the Feast of Trumpets portends Israel's national repentance and belief in the returning Messiah. So we will talk about that next time. Let me just say that we would like to hear from our audience. If you enjoy these teachings, if they bless and edify you, please call us or write to us and let us know. We also offer a free bi-monthly newsletter that you can call or write to us, and we'll send it to you free. Soon we are headed back to Israel to conduct our yearly gospel outreach to the Jewish people. So we would ask for your prayers for the successful execution of that. And we would also humbly ask for your financial support. We can't do this without financial support. So we ask that you will prayerfully consider about supporting us. And if you do, all donations are tax deductible. The announcer at the end of the program will tell you how you can contact us for these things. Until next time, Shalom Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.